Are we going? Check. How you Mike doing? Check.
I'm good. Ross, are you there?
I am here. Are you there?
I'm Ross. I'm always here, man.
Let's go. Got my back. Got your back. Pete, welcome back.
Good to see you. It's a wonderful Monday night in Chico. And best of all, Ross, The weather is changing. It's like getting dark and it's getting cool and it's not 1,000 degrees. The hellscape of Chico summer, I think, might be just about gone.
Yeah, looking at the temperatures this week, last week, got really excited thinking about we're going to have some runs and some nice temps.
Yeah, we're not going to be pouring sweat in the first, I don't know, half mile. It might be like a full mile before we start pouring sweat now.
Yeah, perspiring. Maybe in the rearview mirror a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hey, so it's episode number 9. We're back in the studio, ready to rock. Our last episode featured the Butte College cross country team. So cool to have a lens into the Roadrunners and the program they're building and hear from Kyle and Mark. Thanks to everybody who listened to that episode. That was fun.
It's really cool to talk, and I think we mentioned this last time, like to talk to high-level runners who are young and still have so much ahead of them and so motivated and inspired to keep pushing hard. It's just cool to see, and Mark and Kyle are building a really cool program, and I really, really love how it's so homegrown.
Yeah.
Right? It's all Butte County, Tehama County, Glenn County, right around here, which is really cool, and pulling from that local talent and giving them a stage to show what we do around this area.
Yeah, absolutely. And lo and behold, they go out this past weekend in the state preview. The men's team placed 3rd overall. The women's team placed 4th overall in NorCal, and the first individual finisher for Butte in the NorCal region, I believe, was Stefan. He won the NorCal Runner of the Week. He was one of our guests on the show. Not surprised, the guy runs blistering miles at a super fast pace.
Yeah, I've got it right here. It was a 4-mile course, and he ran it in 21 minutes flat. I'm not familiar with that. 21 minutes sounds like 2.5 miles to me, four.
What'd you say just before we started? The only time you go that fast is in a car.
Yeah. Great work, Steph. You know, having gone to one workout with you and kind of following what you're doing on Strava, not surprised that you did so well. Good work. And to the rest of the men's team, great work out there. I know Benji was out there and Steph's brother, Justin, and the other guys. So great work. Keep it up. You got nothing but good things coming this season. How about those ladies?
Yeah, the ladies. Jen did well. Ariana did well. They're pushing it. They did solid. Just, you know, kudos to them. That's the way you start the year. And, you know, I imagine the coaches, you know, hey, they're thinking about there's stuff to build on, but at the same time, solid start for the Roadrunners. So happy for them and happy for the ladies.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And not to let we'd be remiss to mention this. Chico State had their team time trials.
Yeah.
This past weekend, they're getting ready for the year. Some awesome clips surfaced on social media. Melina Twins smashing through the park. Damian Garcia, who's one hell of a runner. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on that name. Really cool to see the Wildcats get going. Excited for them this year. And maybe just maybe we'll get Gary Town on coming up soon.
That would be incredible. I just happened to be driving by the park when they were doing that time trial.
Way.
Yeah, it was incredible to see. Anybody who's out there hearing this, if you are ever in the park and you see a pack of runners moving faster than you could ever dream of, that's probably the Chico State team.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see the time trial. They have, you know, the whole pack of runners, and they have a couple people on bikes who I would assume are working as pacers.
Yeah.
Because again, that's the only way I could ever move that fast is on wheels. But yeah, it's really cool to see them out there in full force doing their thing. Gary Town has built just an incredible program,
dude.
Just a powerhouse. You know, you mentioned the clips that popped up on social media, but there are also some like media blurbs about like, you know, coaches' favorites for best teams in, you know, I think I was on the West Coast and Chico State was at the top. So whatever Gary Town is doing is working. Wildcats, keep eating and drinking whatever you're eating and drinking. Stay hydrated. Always stay hydrated. But yeah, really cool to see them out and about and keep your eyes open.
Yeah, not surprised at their success It's so fun to go to some of those events. The Twilight Invitational each year is amazing at Chico State. Gary's obviously built such an incredible program, as mentioned. Looking forward to getting out there and watching them. And Gary, if you're listening, we've got a seat saved for you. We also have a seat saved for Logan Ziegenmeier.
Yeah.
Holy cow. UTMB. What a savage.
Unbelievable. I mean, I don't think anybody that knows Logan is surprised that he did as well as he did. Given the hard work that he puts into everything it takes to be a successful high-level runner. I did see him for just a few minutes last week on his first run back after finishing the 108 miles through the Alps. And what I think surprised me most was he said, I'm chomping at the bit to get after it again. Like, I'm so inspired, so motivated to keep running. And I think it's a testament to his character and his resolve. And I think he even said being around such high level runners and seeing people push it so hard with what they're capable of just inspired him. And, you know, I think that's what so many of us pull from him is the inspiration. Like, this guy's pushing so hard, we should work as hard as we possibly can too.
Yes, he's so inspiring. That's a good way to put it. I love how he goes about his craft as well. He finished 354th out of 1,664 runners.
That's
amazing.
That's like, insane.
Yeah, top third. And, you know, there were blizzard conditions on night one. I mean, they were running in heavy rain, sleet, snow, muddy trails. Some of the videos that surfaced on social media of people at the aid station after that area of the race was just brutal. I mean, their pants were covered in mud. It was like, that must not have been very fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing more about that from him. I have a list of questions a mile long just to find out what this whole experience was like. Because again, guys like me and you are probably never going to run UTMB. You know, certainly a 100-mile race is conceivable for you. But, you know, to get to that level where you're running in that particular race is incredible. And so really looking forward to picking his brain when the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, same. I also want to hear about the form.
Yes.
Pete ran this weekend up in Washington. He did his marathon. He did so good. So proud of Pete, man. Yeah. How'd he finish? Talk to me.
I think it was 12th overall. And second in his age group. And I think his time was like 3 hours on the dot. So let me do some quick math. I looked this up on Strava. That's like a 6:50-ish pace for a marathon, which is incredible.
Flying.
Yeah, absolutely flying. So Pete, not surprised that you did so well. I think you said that was 11 minutes better than the marathon you ran 2 months ago. So clearly the hard work is paying off. Keep it up. The last sentiment he left me with when I was texting with him yesterday was, I'm ready to get back on the trails.
Yeah, dude, let's bring it. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Hope to see him out on the trails. What an incredible story of just massive progress made in a short amount of time.
For real. But I mean, the guy's a natural athlete.
He sure is.
Right. I mean, there's a reason why we call him the form. Yep. We always say he just looks like it's easy for him. So, I'm sure whatever his next goal is for his running, he'll reach it.
Yeah, he's a fantastic runner. Congratulations, Pete. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, want to give a quick Fleet Feet Trail Training Program update. The current vibe and progress of this group is really fun right now.
Yeah, fill us in.
Yeah, I just want to give a huge shout out to coaches Brett and Shauna doing their thing and some standout runners that I've enjoyed getting some miles with in the half marathon training program, including Nemai, who is just unbelievable. This guy's potential is off the charts. Like, he's so fun to run with, but usually he just takes off in front of all of us and we don't really see much of him, but he's amazing. Neil also is just putting in serious work. And Joel, we've got like an older gentleman who joined this program, and getting to know him has been fun. And he was smashing some miles with us on Saturday morning in Upper Park and just cruising at a great pace. So he's been fun. I'm trying to rope him into the Bidwell Run Club runs on Wednesday. Hopefully he'll come out. But all the programs involved were out Saturday morning, 5K, 10K, half marathon. Just a reminder that the Fall Trail Classic half is coming up. It's about 1.5 months away. So sign up. The date's October 19th. The course is going to be amazing. There may be a late adjustment, though, because Upper Yahi is not looking good at the moment.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's some tough terrain that the city is going to have to work on. Shauna mentioned that she'll be in contact with Chico Velo and them, so hopefully they can clean it up.
Yeah.
But there may be a little bit of a surprise twist to the route. I think they're going back to the original route they did a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the plan, but it may be changed because of this late development. We'll have to see, but wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, so wouldn't it be cool if the route changed slightly every year, so it's not the same race course every year? Because I mean, I think they're on that now, right? They did 2 years of the same, and then last year post fire, or was it this is year three, so maybe it's been a different route both the first 2 years.
I'm unaware. You'd be educating me on that.
But yeah, that's really kind of exciting and keeps you on the edge of your seat. There's another component of the Trail Classic as well.
Right, the endurance.
Good point, race. And I think that could be really cool again. I know our very own fan favorite, Billy Harkness, is the defending champion. Mm-hmm. He's made it clear he's not going to run it this year. He's going to go run the half. So thank you for giving somebody else a chance to win, Billy, because I'm sure if you were out there running the endurance one again, you'd be giving everybody a run for their money.
Are you thinking about getting in that endurance?
I may or may not have just signed up right before we got here.
No way.
Yeah. So, yes, I did sign up for the endurance. The one condition that my wife gave me for running an ultra or an endurance race was you have to start weight training. Yeah. So I started weight training just like you.
Yeah.
And I got the green light to do it. So I literally signed up right before we came over here to pod tonight. So yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
Well, come to think of it, you're looking a little more yoked than usual, dude.
I mean, I don't want to tell Arnold Schwarzenegger to look out, but I might be chomping right at his heels. I mean, look at you. You're lifted more than I am these days.
That's funny, dude.
I'm still throwing around those 10-pound dumbbells, well, though.
In honor of Chico's Upper Bidwell Park terrain, I'll refer to myself is the Rock.
Yes.
Is that
yeah
work?
Yeah, Rock the Rock. Yeah, the Ross the Rock,
the
field.
the very mini Rock.
Yeah, the Rock field.
I've got a long way to go. Well, hey, this is great because it kind of teases right into today's guest, who has
totally
an incredible background in strength training, excuse me. He's also run barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
He's built businesses,
mm-hmm,
and somehow still shows up with sparkling water for the crew.
Yes,
after every group run. You'll meet him next. But first, this break is brought to you by
hydration. Drink water, drink electrolytes, stay hydrated. Otherwise, the running is not going to go as well as you want it to go.
Yeah, there's nothing like a good sparkling water after a long run. I should get some more electrolytes in me.
You should.
You know, this break's also brought to you by Fleet Feet in the Bidwell Run Club. Because they're awesome.
Yes, they are.
We'll be back.
Yep.
2 very boring minutes later.
Okay, welcome back. So what's really fun about Wednesday nights with the Bidwell Run Club is you and I kind of get a chance to brainstorm a little bit,
mm-hmm,
about guests to get on the show.
Yep.
We can plan, we can prepare. And our guest today is somebody that we should have had on a long time ago. Somebody who's really important to the community.
Yep.
Somebody who does an incredible job. Somebody who's heavily involved, mm-hmm, in the running community. And somebody who has an amazing story.
The best.
The best story. He is the most interesting Manny in the world. Tell me about him real quick.
Yeah, this is Manny Escalante, our good friend from Bidwell Run Club, one of the founders. So, Manny, welcome to the pod.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, yeah, thank you very much. Super, super excited to be here. And you guys are doing wonders. A wonderful addition to the running community for sure. Just hearing your banter and your passion and your humor and just the stoke that you have for all the runners and the kind of the, you know, the whole NorCal community is pretty incredible. So thank you guys and thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Manny. That's super nice of you to say.
We appreciate that.
Go, Pete.
Yeah. So, Manny, let's go back to the beginning. Take us where you started, how you ended up in Chico, maybe some of the running or endurance activities and events that got you here. So take it from the very beginning.
Yeah. So kind of the roundabout story. I was born in Costa Rica. Both my parents are from Costa Rica. My brother and I were born down there. All my family's still down there. Grandma, aunts, uncles, cousins, they're all down there.
Yeah.
So growing up, and we moved to the States when I was 7 with my brother. So I had a few childhood memories, and really that was, you know, multi-generational parenting, if you will, right? It was you were with your aunt, or you were with my mom, or with grandma, or great grandma.
Yeah.
And that was just really, really special times. So, we were down there for a number of years. My parents met in Chicago, so they had a connection to the U.S.
Okay.
Met here, moved to Costa Rica, had my brother and I, and then decided to move back just for better work opportunities that my dad had.
Sure.
He's been in sales and marketing, and so kind of this will come full circle a little bit later. So he just had some different opportunities in the U.S., and we spent a number of years in South Texas, and then from Texas we moved to L.A., and pretty much my formative years were outside of L.A., so Arcadia, outside of Pasadena, San Gabriel Valley, lived there for a number of years, went to school at the University of Laverne, small private school.
Yeah.
And then kind of was finishing up, really had no intent. I had my bachelor's degree in sports medicine, and that graduating was the start of fitness, which I'll come back to in a second.
Yeah.
I was working with my brother and also with an ambulance company, and was pretty happy. I was set, you know, for the next foreseeable future. And then I get a phone call from Nate Swift.
Uh-huh.
And he was a fraternity brother of mine, also in the sports medicine program. And he said, "Manny, I'm going up to Chico. I need a roommate. Someone dropped out of the program, so there's a spot for you if you want it."
Wow.
Whoa.
And that was for the sports medicine program. So I made a few phone calls to the people up here, and they said, "It's yours if you want it. We need you up here. I need a decision in 2 weeks. It's a 2-year commitment." I said, okay, let me put my life on hold.
Yeah.
In Southern California. Jumped in Nate's truck. We cruised up here, and I remember getting off 99, and you know, you see it was dark. You see a whole lot of fields and not like Southern California.
Yeah.
And I said, "Where in the world did we move?"
I think a lot of people have that response the first time they come to Chico.
Agree.
Where are we? What's up here?
And then you get the heat, and they're like, "Wait, I think that I know where we moved. This is a little bit like hell." And then you get used to it.
The hellscape. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So that was what brought me up to Chico, and I was up here for grad school in sports medicine. I was placed. My grad assistant position was at Pleasant Valley High School.
Oh, cool.
So I taped up all the athletes there. It was the Aaron Rodgers years. So I taped up all his ankles and wrists.
No way.
Wow.
All his senior year. Yeah.
No way, bro. That's incredible.
Yeah. It was a lot. It was very, very, very cool. So that was what brought me up to Chico was Swifty.
Uh-huh.
No offense to Taylor, the most important Swift is congrats. My opinion.
Yeah, congrats.
Second, okay. In my opinion.
Congrats.
Nate Swift.
Yeah.
He had the name first.
Number one, Nate, dude, coming through, helping us out. Where would we be? We wouldn't have Manny if it wasn't for Nate.
Yeah. So that was originally, and then finished school, went back to Southern California, lived there for a number of years again. My wife and I moved to Denver, just outside of Denver. Uh-huh. We were there for 9 years, and Denver started to get pretty busy like Southern California. Just lots of people, lots of activity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trails were packed, you know, everything. So we wanted to move out of there, and Chico had a calling for us. It was a special place in our hearts. We had family up here, and we knew what we were coming back to. So we moved back about 4 years ago.
Wow. And
forever home now.
What a journey you've been on. Seen a lot of different places.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Indeed. Wow. Indeed.
So how does personal training work into the journey that you've gone on? Break down the gym roots for us.
Yeah.
So a little bit before that was, you know, I mentioned in high school senior year of college, I was graduating with a degree in sports medicine. And we were doing a lab, you know, where you have to take blood pressure and pulse and you know, just doing all vitals and whatnot. And I remember I had my arm out and my lab partner was taking my pulse, and she says 120 and writes it down. And Professor Jim May comes by, and he says, "What'd you get for Manny?" And she says, "120. And he pauses and then takes my wrist, and he says, "Yeah, I need to talk to you after class. And I went in his office and he said, damn, what are you doing with yourself? I was at the time, 185 pounds. I'm 5'3", 135 right now. So 50 pounds heavier.
Man.
Whoa. I had a 40 inch waist. I'm in 29 size pants right now. And all of the bad habits. And he said, your resting heart rate is incredibly high. And I said, no, Jim, I just came from, and he stopped me and he says, doesn't matter where you came from. You're 21 years old with a resting heart rate of 120. What are you doing?
Whoa.
And so,
Manny, I had no idea, bro. Yeah. That's so impressive that you've done that.
He kind of gave me a kickstart. And then my brother, who was also in the field, in sports medicine and fitness, said, hey, you know, just start changing your habits. And so, it was just that. It was little by little. Running was into it. I remember I started running, and I used to run from college, from the university to my parents' house, but only when my mom was home, because she could drive me back, and it was a mile. So I'd run a mile, hang out with my mom, get in her car, and she'd drive me back.
Okay.
And that was the start of running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Manny, like, this is, I mean, having only known you for a year and a half now, I would have never guessed that's how all of this started for you. I think most people who are listening probably know Manny, have come across Manny. Manny's like one of the fittest dudes I've ever come across. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine you. I'm not trying to be rude. I can't imagine you not being fit.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's so impressive that you've done that, that you've turned your life around like that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really, really amazing, man.
It was, you know, some good mentors. And then it was one of those difficult conversations that I didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
But I'm glad Jim did it. My brother did it. My parents did it.
Yeah.
And so it was really good because it was that start. And it was just, you know, little by little. I grew up playing high school sports. Uh-huh. I was terrible, but when I played them.
Yeah.
And so I had a little bit of weight room experience. Mm-hmm. And Ross, you know, to your point, so I just kind of, okay, let me run a little bit. Let me get back into the gym just a little bit. I remember also sitting on the recumbent bike and it was, you know, all of the other college athletes were practicing around me. And here I was just struggling on the recumbent bike, you know, just trying to stay pedaling for 18 minutes at a time.
Sure.
Wow.
That's inspiring though. And
yeah,
I think maybe that's part of what makes you such a magnetic personality too. It's like, you know how hard it is, but also that it's possible to make these changes, right? To be able to speak from experience. And, you know, you see some folks who are just natural athletes, fit their whole lives, you know, couldn't be out of shape if they tried to. And so, you know, the hard work that it takes and that it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So what would you say would be like, I don't know, a piece of advice you have for somebody who's, you know, struggling with maybe weight or wants to, you know, turn their life around like you've turned your life around in that regard?
Yeah, I think pick something that you enjoy doing in terms of physical fitness and do that, right? Like running is our jam, but it can be roller skating or rock climbing or, right? Like anything, just something that keeps you fired up, like do that. And I'd say, you know, just stay consistent, like a little bit at a time, right? And it's like running, just one foot in front of the other over and over again, right? So pick something that you're stoked about, do a little bit every day. And then probably, you know, what we're building here, which is just community, like rally with other people that are like you and, you know, that are just as stoked as you are.
Yeah. Come to Bidwell Run Club Wednesday night runs.
Yes.
That is not terrible advice.
It's not terrible advice. And there's always cold sparkling waters.
I think it's so cool that you would run and you get to hang out with your mom and your mom would drive you back. I don't know. Man. That touches me a little bit, man. That's a sweet element to your story, dude.
That sounds A-okay to me too.
Yeah, that's cool.
So you go, you start doing this fitness stuff and did it just kind of take off from there? Was it just like, okay, I actually kind of like this running stuff? Or was it like, this running stuff's okay, let me dabble in some cycling, let me dabble in some strength? Like, how did that all come together? Was it all at once or was it kind of a slow process?
It was a slow process. And, you know, everything from just dialing back my eating habits, you know, at the time I'd, you know, if I'd go to In-N-Out, I would just still go to In-N-Out, but I wouldn't order, you know, the extra cheeseburger, or like instead of the large shake, you just get a small shake.
Yeah.
Like it was literally not turning everything upside down. Mm-hmm. It was just, okay, well, little by little. Mm-hmm. I think a turning point was I was hanging out with Swifty and another friend of ours. We were at their house for pizza, and pizza came and I had timed it. So like I took out a protein bar and like I was, and then I was that guy uh-huh. who was like eating a protein bar where my friends were eating pizza.
Yeah.
But that's when like, it was just all of those little changes. It started to click and then your mindset just shifted.
Yeah.
So I kind of had that foundation mostly in the gym, running, in the weight room. Mm-hmm. But then I came up here and with Swifty, he was nerd out on bicycles. We had multiple bicycles in the house. Uh-huh. And then, so from there, I'm like, okay, let me check out this cycling thing. Started riding with him I was working at a gym. So personal training, teaching spin classes, it was very much like commuting was on bicycle.
Yeah.
It went from like slowly, slowly, slowly to snowball. Yeah. This is my lifestyle.
Full commit.
Yeah.
Just, wow.
Full. Yeah.
That's,
yeah. Man. And I think that's another draw to Chico is that's when I think Manny, who I am now, became, uh-huh. Was in that time frame. So it's always like a soft spot in my heart for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I think that speaks to, again, we talk about this so much, Ross, like what makes Chico such a great place? It's the opportunities to be outside. Yeah. Right. And you don't have to drive everywhere. You can walk, you can run, you can hop on the bike, right? Ride down to farmer's market, ride out to the brewery, like whatever it might be.
Recreation opportunities.
Yeah. We're in such a nice community to be able to do that. It's not like, you know, some cities don't offer that, right? Where they're concrete jungles where you literally have to drive everywhere or take the bus or whatever it might be. And you don't have these opportunities to do the physical stuff. So, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you found Chico and Chico found you.
Yeah, me too.
So from there, you started talking, you start to get into cycling, doing some more running. Did you ever do any racing or like events, like whether it's cycling? I know you've done some racing events around here, but what's the history of all that too?
It was another foundation in Chico. So I was working... I was still at PV, but I was working at what at the time was Fit One Athletic Club. Before Fit One, for those of you old enough to remember, it was Kangaroo Courts. So I went, and this is the gym on Skyway, right across from Home Depot.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So for those of you old folk, it went Kangaroo Courts, and then Fit One, and then it was an NS Fit for a while.
Yeah,
Lion's Den now.
Yeah.
So I was there in the Fit One days, and I was personal training, working at the front desk. Another beautiful part about Chico and that gym is where I met the love of my life, my wife, Amanda.
Yeah.
She's also working there. So we met there and we may get into that or not, but
yeah.
Shout out to Amanda.
Shout out to Amanda. I was about to do that. Nice.
Before you jump too deep into this, what year would that have been?
2001 to
2003. Ross,
that's when we were terrorizing the dorms.
Yeah, that's when we were terrorizing the dorms, doing nothing good. The gym was about the last place you would have ever found me. That's probably why I never ran into you up until a couple years ago. But yeah
carry on. There you go. It all makes sense.
Yeah, you said, I think it was last Wednesday, we were talking at the Wednesday night run with the Bidwell Run Club, and you mentioned that gym is my number one. And I don't know if a lot of people realize that about Manny, that maybe that's your first true passion for fitness. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it is. And it's, you know, probably starting from the high school days, right, where it was, you know, Metallica and all the other bad, like good, bad, like hair bands just blaring.
Yeah.
And, so I had a fond memories of the weight room there. And then, just transitioning into, you know, graduating from my undergrad and then working at the gym here. It's just really got a connection to me for sure. Right. Yeah. And, from what I get from it physically, mentally, it just puts me in a good spot where, like, you know, I just either have to go to the gym or go run. And then, you know, that kind of hits reset, but also, you know, from a, from a financial, it has my heart because I've been in the gym industry either as a gym owner or personal trainer or manager or now on the consulting side. The fact that people like going to gyms has paid a lot of my bills. So
nothing wrong
with
that.
It helps my fitness and it helps my wallet.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go. And Amanda likes to go to the gym too, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You met her there. What would you say your favorite strength exercise is? Maybe like a good old fashioned curl or a bench press.
Deadlifts. Okay. I would say. Yeah. Deadlifts, kettlebell, anything with a kettlebell. And then maybe some like good pull-ups.
Oh, pull-ups. Go to hell.
Yeah.
I was doing...
The next time I do a pull-up might be the first one.
I was rocking some kettlebell exercises when I was on a recent vacation with my brother, and he was making fun of me for using the kettlebell. And I was like, bro, you don't know. These things are
efficiency.
Amazing.
So good. I'll just plant the seed now. Did Manny just say he was going to lead some BRC kettlebell workouts? Because I think that's what I just heard.
I think, is that what came through the speaker?
Yeah.
Mic check.
Yeah.
Oh, let's transition into the endurance side of things a little bit. Talk a little bit about running, because one of like my favorite attributes about you is something that I noticed the very first time we went on a run together back in the winter. Pete was there. Jess was there. It was a small Bidwell Run Club run that day. Only five of us showed up. It was mighty cold, but we're smashing through Lower Park and I'm like, this guy's wearing sandals and he's running in sandals. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. Yeah. Like Manny runs in sandals. I mean, talk a little bit about that for us. Like, and it's not just sandals. You also run barefoot. I think you've done a barefoot marathon.
I have. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The start of the running, you know, kind of connecting it to Chico was when I was at Fit One Athletic Club. I think it was there. It may have been Fleet Feet. Someone hosted a race in Upper Park and I ran it. I got second in my age group and I was like, wait a second. Like, I'm not terrible at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. So that was kind of the spark to continue, you know, looking at running.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that carried me, you know, is biking and running here back to Southern California, did a bunch of running there, you know, shorter distances up to marathon, got into triathlon. I did raced every distance in triathlon. And then in triathlon racing, you know, realized, oh yeah, I'm least bad at running. So let me not do the other two. And so running's had, yeah, kind of that call, through just, you know, kind of different challenges that I was trying to put myself in as we do, you know, kind of as runners.
Yeah.
The book, Born to Run came out, mm-hmm. right. And it was all, you know, about the Tarahumara Indians, mm-hmm. and how they race, and then, you know, kind of kickstart the whole barefoot sandal running. So that's where I got the start. Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Love that book, by the way.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. I should mention that Pete, you know, did me a solid and like, let me have that book.
Yeah.
About 6 months ago, said, hey, Ross, you're getting into running. You should read this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a book that changes your life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very inspiring.
Yeah. Very cool.
You know, just if anybody who hasn't read it, give it a read, get the audio book. It's totally worth it.
El Caballo Blanco.
El Caballo Blanco. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And, there's the 30 for 30. That talks about that as well. So if you haven't seen that, look that up. It's a pretty cool short documentary. But read the book because reading's better for you.
Yeah.
What's the farthest event you've completed on foot or in sandals?
Yeah.
So little bit of a sore subject. So altogether, full Ironman, so 140, right? But that's not all on foot. So swim, bike, run piece of it.
Still incredibly amazing and impressive.
Yeah,
that's
a fun, challenging in a different way.
I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will share, you know, I'd been doing shorter distance triathlons. And actually, I did a super sprint, which is a couple hundred yards swimming, a couple mile, I don't know, maybe it was like 15, 20 mile ride and then like a 2 mile run. So super short. I did it the morning of my wedding in like full suit. And it said, I'm getting married today. I got permission from my wife. Yeah. And she said, look, don't get hurt and show up on time.
Yeah.
And then, yes, you can do it.
Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. Tell me you did it barefoot or in sandals.
No. Oh. Because remember, like.
In shiny shoes?
Yeah.
Was it in dress shoes?
Oh. I wish I would have thought that.
It's your story. Say yes.
Yeah. Yes. Shiny shoes. And then I got into the Ironman kick. I was in New York and I had Triathlon magazine on a subway and I opened it up and it had a shot and it was advertising one of the Ironman races and I closed the magazine and I was like, I'm doing Ironman. And damn. Then just came back and
that's savage,
bro. Signed up. So yeah, that was the Ironman days. I raced three full. Different just kind of mental experience and challenge and the training and everything that you learn. Got another great community out of that out in Southern California.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been talking for a few minutes now and, you know, when you were 21, you made that switch, you know, the flip switch, like I'm going to be a healthier person and make better, healthier decisions. And then you see a triathlon advertised in a magazine and you just jump into it. I think that says a lot about
how dumb I am.
No, not at all.
Confident.
Confident, strong-willed, and dedicated. When you set your eyes on something, you're going to go do it. And I think that's a very admirable trait to be able to say, I know what my goal is. Now I'm going to get there. I might not know how to get there right now, but I'm going to figure it out. And I think that's, again, what makes you kind of a magnetic personality, right? You just draw people in because you're such an easygoing, nice, confident guy. And, you know, hearing these stories is so cool because, you know, just having a casual conversation, I don't think anybody would know kind of the badass that you are when it comes to like jumping into things and like knowing, like, I'm going to figure out how to do this stuff. It's really cool. But please tell us more about the triathlon stuff because I could never do a triathlon. I can swim. But I don't like to swim. It's got to be like 110 outside and the pool's got to be 96. I would do a triathlon if it involved running, sitting in a hot tub and being pulled on a rickshaw. But like, that's my idea of a triathlon.
That's great. Yeah. The training is unique, right? Cause you're training for three different disciplines.
Yeah.
The good thing is you're not repetitive, but the bad thing is you're always doing something, right? And so like it's here we go. What am I doing today?
Yeah.
I would say it has a good community, but a different kind of personality that's attracted to triathlon, especially compared to trail runners. You know, for people that know me, you know my vibe, and I'm kind of casual and laid back, and like to just mess around. That is accepted better, I would say, in the trail running community than
it's encouraged.
Yeah. So and just the fact that I'm like I said earlier, I'm least bad at running. Mm-hmm. So and I tend to enjoy it the most.
Yeah.
So that's narrowed down.
So what was the most grueling triathlon you've ever done? Like the one that you were just like, holy shit, how did I make it through that?
The first full Ironman.
Okay. Tell us more about that. Where was that one at?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it was just, you think you're ready, but then you're out there and then like on the bike, you know, just getting pounded on with the sun and you're just, you know, trying to eat, but like all of the things are happening on the bike. The bike is the longest and obviously but it's also where you have time to prepare. You have time to fuel, you have time to eat. But if you go too hard, then you're going to wreck yourself on the run.
Yeah.
And just the run of, you know, again, you think you're ready, but then everything hurts.
Uh-huh. And because you just rode 100 miles and now you have to run 26.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it only stops hurting when you're done. So you just, you're just trying to be done, but it hurts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That race was that triathlon was the toughest, but, running wise, furthest distance is 73 miles, which was en route to 100 that I didn't finish. And that was, yeah, that was another tough one. The 100 miler has been eluding me for a while.
Uh-huh. I think when I first met you a year and a half ish ago, you told me that, like, yeah, tried to do the 100 miler, didn't get it done, but it's still on my list. Is it still something you're going to try and pursue at some point?
It is.
Good.
I just have to be in a, I have to have that switch, you know, that you brought earlier. I don't have it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm being patient and just enjoying running.
Totally.
Right now. And you know, Peter always gives me a hard time about my watch because I'm on Strava, but I don't use Strava, you know, and you know, just a regular stopwatch. And that's the, yeah, I'm still kind of enjoying just that vibe right now.
I think there's a lot to be said for not watching the watch habitually. I think disconnecting, we can get really philosophical and talk about, like, I think disconnecting from screens and technology in general at times is really good for you. And I think, you know, you talked about it. You're out there running because you enjoy it, out there screwing around, right? Trail running, we're out here for a long time and a good time, right? It's not out there like pounding the pavement for a road race or like a marathon where you're like, I have a very specific goal. The expectation is to run hard and run fast. Mm-hmm. It's totally different, especially when you get up in our wonderful Bidwell Park where it's hard to run fast up there.
Yeah,
it's really hard. So you might as well just enjoy it.
It is. Yeah. Unless you're Logan or Kyler, or, you know, one of our other friends.
Those sickos.
Then they go fast. Yeah, but
savages.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So barefoot marathon story. Tell us about that, because I just want to get back to the fact that you run in sandals or barefoot, and I just want to talk about, like, why and how, because that's just so interesting and just so cool that you do that, and you've run a marathon barefoot.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was a lot of fun. Training for it was fun. That was through that Born to Run time, and I started thinking about running, you know, running barefoot. And so I would a little bit just at the end of a run, you know, take shoes off and then start doing a little bit of running. We used to do it with triathlon training, you know, just to help your cadence and your turnover, because you have to be much more mindful about your foot placement, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can't, if you're barefoot running, like you can't heel plant, right? Which is like a natural break.
Yeah.
So it just, it puts you in a more neutral running stance.
Love it.
And then arguably, right, contributes to better, like, joint health. Mm-hmm. There's probably some people who shouldn't be barefoot running and it's going to wreck them. So tell your physical therapist in Cairo, sorry.
Yeah. Funny, I was just talking about this with my wife tonight, who's a physical therapist, but carry on.
Yeah. So I was doing a little bit of running and then, you know, just jabbering at my mouth saying, it'd be cool. You know, I wish, you know, about running a race or running a marathon, barefoot. And my wife got tired of hearing me and she said, okay, here's the deal, hon. Either run this race barefoot or please stop talking about how cool it is to run barefoot or whatever it is that you think running barefoot is about. So that was the switch.
Yeah. I think the saying is shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, exactly.
Where was the barefoot marathon?
Long Beach. Long Beach Marathon. And it was actually pretty cool because I decided to make it kind of a fundraiser awareness piece. So there's an organization, Souls for Souls. And they collect gently used shoes and then send them overseas. And the running community is a big one to target because, right, like we often change shoes just because we want new shoes. But if you're in a third world country or, you know, even around here, right, and you need shoes, they're going to be fine. So I was inspired by the organization and I was working at a gym at a time. I was had people dump their shoes in. A buddy of mine drove them to Vegas at their warehouse so they could redistribute them. And then during the race, I had a Souls for Souls shirt on, right? So when people are like, hey, what are you running barefoot for? I'm like, just check out Souls for Souls.
Yeah.
So it was a cool way to just like bring awareness to them. And like I was running barefoot in Long Beach by choice, which, it's again, like just stoked, super fun.
Yeah.
And you get to have like interactions with people. But at the same time, right? Like there's people in other parts of the world who like a pair of shoes is luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a good,
incredible perspective.
Just another reason why he's the most interesting Manny in the world.
It's a fact. So, leading up to running a marathon barefoot, like how long did you have to train to get your feet and your ankles and your calves and your just your body in general ready to go run 26 miles barefoot?
It was, so again, back to my I just wear a stopwatch. It may not surprise you that I don't know exactly how long it took me, but
good for you, Manny.
Probably 4 or 5 months, I would say.
Okay.
And again, it was just little by little increasing the time barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest, it was an 18-mile run that I, so this was in Claremont, Southern California, and 18-mile run, I ended up stopping at one of our gyms that we owned, and because like I had to go in, use the bathroom, get a little bit of water, and like I was it was rough. that training day was rough.
Maybe I came home, stay at the gym and soak the feet in the hot tub instead.
Like but yeah, I think after that I like the feel of it. I mean, I remember, you know, part of the training would be walking around barefoot as much as possible.
Yeah.
So there's like a cool farmer's market down there, kind of like Chico's, like year round, you know, and so you're just walking around as much as possible barefoot.
That's intense.
You probably have some really strong muscles and tendons in that, I don't know, like ankle, calf, foot area. There's a lot of like bones and muscles in your feet, right? Like you probably have some yoked feet. Like, you know?
Yeah, if you could flex your toes.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be pretty epic. Oh,
yeah. How many marathons have you done?
Oh, man. I thought this might come up. And again, like...
Approximate, ballpark.
Yeah.
It's cool that you don't know too. That's amazing. Yeah. Dude. I respect that.
I can tell you how many I've done. None.
Same. He's counting. He's counting them.
He's got one hand. He's onto his toes now.
Which are very strong.
I don't know. Maybe 18.
Okay. Oh my gosh, Manny, bro. See, people don't know this about you, dude. I don't know. It's so fun to learn about this community and the people in here. Like, Manny, my gosh, man.
Yeah.
I'm learning again this episode. The last few episodes is learning.
Yeah.
Now I'm learning again.
But again, Ross, we go back to this all the time. Running in our community is not about bragging and saying, I did this, true, I did that, I'm going to go do this. Like, everybody's out here just to support each other, enjoy the running, and whatever it brings to each individual person, whatever your goals are, great. Sure. I hope you reach them. If it's just to come out and hang out at BRC and have a good time, that's exactly what you should be doing. If it's training to run 108 miles through the Alps, then it's that. But it's just such a humble community that we get to run with.
What percentage of people at BRC Wednesday Night Runs think no? That Manny ran 18 marathons.
Well, I know at least two now.
That's amazing.
That is really cool. So should we take a pause here for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
Take a pause.
Gather our wits about. I'm a little giddy learning all this stuff.
I know. This is crazy.
You can take a sip of some sparkling water.
Oh, this break is brought to you by strength training.
Okay.
We've got the expert in the house tonight. Ross and I are on the train. We are strength training. Everybody else, improve your life, improve your running, improve your longevity. Do some strength training.
Thank you, Shauna, Logan, and others who have pushed us, who have come on the pod and said, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. You run too much. You need to do strength training.
It's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
A lot of boring math later.
All right, welcome back. You know, this just reminded me, we should give some love to Annie Stratton, who just completed a triathlon this weekend.
Nice.
So shout out to Annie.
Shout out,
good work, and she had a really high finish, not surprised. She ran her half marathon in like 7 minute, 48 second miles after swimming and bike riding.
Dang.
So
So Annie's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Agreed. Great well work, done. Annie. That's impressive.
She comes to BRC runs every once in a while on Wednesday nights. Yeah. It's always a little bit of a better vibe when Annie's around. Her and Katie are obviously really good friends. And yeah, it's an addition when they're at the party, when they're showing up. But you're one of the founders of BRC. You're part of the origin of BRC, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken.
Sweet. What's your role? And I just got to say, you've got such a great impact on the vibe. You always have the best vibe at BRC Wednesday night run night. So thank you for that. And yeah, talk a little bit about your role with BRC.
Yeah, thanks. I respectfully disagree. I think I bring some good vibes, but people like you too also. And so yeah, we appreciate it's fun to have you all out and having fun out there. Yeah, you're not wrong. One of the founders of BRC and board of so we have a board of directors. We're in like an official nonprofit. We're pretty stoked to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm the official title is president. One of a handful who make the thing happen.
Yeah. Take us back. I can't remember if we've ever heard like the actual like nitty gritty of here's how BRC started. It came up at our run last week that there's a brief story. Why don't you revisit that and tell us about how you and Jess and Andrew and Logan brought all this together.
I get to learn some more?
Always, Ross. Yeah. We're lifelong learners around here.
Actually, we're kind of coming up on the anniversary. It was at a environmental cleanup that, you know, it was September, so we're coming up on one, and BRC is one of the sponsors with them. We're stoked for that. Yeah. So, you know, it was the environmental cleanup. I was stationed out at under one of the underpasses, and there was a whole crew also there, and one of them had a Department of Kinesiology shirt. So I graduated technically from that department. It was physical education when I was there, but kinesiology. So we started a conversation, and it was Andrew. Turns out he's one of the professors there.
Yeah. So, Dr. Andrew.
Yeah. Dr. Andrew. Hi. We started talking just around kinesiology and Chico State, and then about our hobbies, and come to find out we both like doing outdoor stuff. So, you know, hiking, biking, running. And then he said, my wife and I are trying to get some people together on Wednesday nights to run Upper Park. If you want to come, let me get your number. So sure enough, got his number. And I look back at the thread the first week in November of that year. It was a text thread. It's Andrew from the cleanup. Do you want to come run with my wife and I tonight?
Let's go.
And so that's where it started. It was us three. And then from there, we started a WNR, which is Wednesday Night Run text thread. Mm-hmm. And if we met you and you look like you could run or might want to run, or we could get your number, we'd get it. Yeah. And then we'd just text you hoping you'd chill up. Sometimes it was two of us. Sometimes it was 8 or 10. If we had 10 people, we were stoked of like, yeah, this is awesome. We have a run group. We did that for a while. And little by little, you know, the group started to grow. We had some regulars come in. And on one of those runs, Logan was out for a training run. And they like, you know, being Strava famous. Famous for real in the community. But if you don't know him, just Strava famous.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He sparked a conversation with Jess. He knew Jason, who's also a part of BRC, and Jason was out with us. Logan finished the run with us, and then we stuck around talking after. So the we being Andrew, Jess, myself, and Logan. And, you know, we just said, this is what we have going, text thread. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'd be stoked. You know, I've been thinking about getting a group together of runners. And we're like, well, we're a group of runners.
Yeah.
Join us.
Yeah, you found us.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a little bit after that, we met at Jess and Andrew's and you know, made it official. We talked about what the vision that we wanted to have and the name. some of you heard of the story. Like, that was when I was introduced to Strava. I was at the table and they were talking about, oh, we should get a group on Strava. And I said, yeah, we should. I have to get Strava. And Jess wouldn't let me leave until I downloaded it. I said, oh, yeah, I'll download it. She says, yeah, right now. Download it.
Thank you, Jess.
Yeah, yeah. Jess.
So it was from that meeting. Then we kind of formalized, you know, wanted to make it formal. So the name, you know, the 501c3, like all the legal back end stuff, but more importantly, like, what do we want to represent in the community?
Yeah.
What kind of club we want to be? What do we want to do?
Yeah. Talk about coming together in such an organic way,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing forced there. And I mean, I'm not surprised that the four or five of you bonded so quickly either, mm-hmm. right? You guys all seem to have the same kind of energy where it's like, man, we're just pumped that everybody's here. We just want to run and be outside. But going back to what the vision is, when you guys were establishing BRC, what was that vision that you guys very clearly set out to create?
A community with a cool vibe, right?
Yeah.
That just lets people be stoked on what they're stoked on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're stoked on, like, you just, you know, running, or if you're stoked, like, whatever your stoke is, cool, just like keep doing that. Mm-hmm. But we like we want it to be a group for all runners, meaning, you know, I mean, you guys have said it, right? We have people in the club who are podium finishers at 200 mile racers,
mm-hmm.
right? There's multiple Boston qualifiers.
Yeah.
There's like, yeah, accolade upon accolade. And just as cool, there's people in the club whose first trail run was with BRC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's like the deepest they've ever been in Upper Park is with BRC.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always so cool too, when like new folks show up for a Wednesday night run and you give them the opportunity to say, you know, I'm me and here's how I heard about you. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I would hope, I know, thinking back to my first one, like, I felt really welcomed right away. Like, I'd never been a part of a run club. Like, I'd done some Fleet Feet trainings, right? And that's certainly a great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I love that. But BRC is such a different atmosphere, yeah, right? When you're in those training programs, there's a very clear goal that you're working toward. Mm-hmm. There's a defined workout that you're going for.
If you're with Noah and Paul.
Yeah, if you're with Noah and Paul. Man, those guys cracked the whip. But you know,
which is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
But when you come to BRC, you know, you said it, like, just good vibes. Come out here, run the pace that makes you happy. If you don't want to run the whole thing, no big deal. Just let somebody know, so we're not out, you know, scouring Upper Park in the dark trying to find you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mission accomplished, I think, with creating that really welcoming, open club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
President thanks. Escalante has a nice ring to it too.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Very welcoming, inclusive group. You also do a cool little thing where you have a sweeper.
Yeah.
So like everybody's involved in the run and you've got somebody trailing to make sure that people who may not be going as fast are, you know, accounted for and they're making their way and you're hanging out with people in the back. And so it's just the way it's organized lends itself to kind of a really welcoming and inclusive vibe. So
yeah, and really, right, it's the community too. Like we kind of spearhead it, but it's the community that's rallies behind and, like, you know, gets it and wants to participate and wants to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the you know, the sweeper is like the, you know, there's, because it's you're out there, right, to be part of the group, and so we want to make sure everyone feels like they're part of the group.
Yeah.
And I like to remember, you know, that's we're always like, our fast pace is someone's slow pace,
mm-hmm.
right? And our slow pace is someone's fast pace.
Yeah.
Good point.
So like, you know, I'm not as fast as, like, none of us are, but you're a hell of a lot faster than somebody else.
Yeah, totally. So,
yeah. Do you ever like sit back on nights where there's like 40 people out there and go, damn, this is crazy. Like, for think about how far it's come. Do you ever have those like moments, those realizations where like, look at what we built. This is amazing.
Less I think on the look what we built, but the this is amazing and I can't believe this.
Okay.
On a regular basis.
Love it.
Yeah.
On a regular basis. And you know, when during one of the breaks we were talking about open house. Mm-hmm. No,
Oh,
housewarming.
Party. Yeah.
Housewarming party.
Shout out Melissa.
Shout out Melissa.
That was fun.
That was great.
I'm so bummed I missed it.
Oh, it was
great. We missed you.
And just everything about that situation, right, has a tie back to BRC. Melissa met Jess and Andrew at BRC. Jess and Andrew used to live at that house.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to, you know, purchase it. Had a beautiful housewarming party, and a lot of the people there were from BRC.
Yeah.
So just like that community, right?
Yeah.
Is so much more than the run.
You know, these Wednesday night runs are so cool, and I've been going for several months now, and you know, it's different every week, right? The crowd that shows up is different every week. But just the reach that Bidwell Run Club has is incredible. Like, I'm thinking back to Natalia, right? Who was here from Germany, but originally from Colombia, right? And her partner was out at one point, right? And he was from
Sweden.
And we've had other folks that show up that are like, oh, I'm just in town for a couple weeks or a week visiting, and I was looking for somewhere to run, and you guys popped up on my Strava or my Instagram. So I decided to come out and run tonight. And then maybe we see him again in a couple weeks, or maybe we never see him again, but they show up, they have a good time. And like, just the reach that Bidwell Run Club has created is so cool.
Yeah. I think it's pretty incredible that the community is one. To your point, right? People drive from Red Bluff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To come run.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Todd comes up from Sutter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sutter. People are, you know, from Durham.
Yeah.
Like, you could run in Red Bluff.
Yeah.
On Wednesday night.
Yeah.
But
no,
it's better with BRC.
Yeah.
That's a good point. One of the guys this past weekend said, I found out about BRC through Google. Searched like run clubs, and it was like Bidwell Run Club was the first result that popped up.
Yeah, are you guys paying to like boost your searches or what?
No,
I mean, I don't blame you.
But we are actually, our website will be going live, our Google profile will be going live in the spirit of like not joking, like SEO, because we want to be found by more people
totally.
To add to the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
We're teasing stuff here.
We are. You know, I'm just going to go there right now. I think one of the biggest draws of Wednesday Night Run is the end of Wednesday Night Run.
Agreed. And not just because you're done running.
And not just because you're done running, but because there is a cooler full of the coldest sparkling water that exists in Butte County.
That's tested. We have the certificate.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Yeah,
it's science.
Yeah.
Where did that start? The whole sparkling water at the end. Like, what?
How did that come about?
Yeah, how did that come about?
It's kind of twofold. Back in the WNR days, someone would bring a six pack, and then depending on, you know, oftentimes you had two of them.
Yeah.
But I think it was there, right? There was just a small group, like, hey, I'll bring some beers next time.
Yeah.
And then, so we did that. That was kind of like maybe the origin of it. And then most likely it was Jess with her super stoke and like all about it.
Yeah.
She's like, you know what would be cool? We should bring sparkling waters at the end of the run. Mm. And then, yeah, it seemed like a great idea. So we kept it going.
God bless Jess.
Yeah. It what a wonderful idea. Just the best.
Dude, I get on like mile three and a half. It's like,
yeah,
still mile and a half away. And I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to have a sparkling
water. You're better than me on those hot Wednesday nights in the summer. And we're half a mile in. I'm already thinking about, man, that sparkling water is going to be so cold and so good.
Hey, you know what we need to do? You and I need to supply some sparkling water.
Totally. Yeah.
Like I haven't done that yet. I've been thinking about wanting to do that.
We need to make a Costco run.
Yeah, we're committed.
Yep. Yep.
I think you, Peter, right?
I have dropped a couple cases.
Yeah. Good looking out.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an easy thing to do as well. I mean, in my mind, it's the least that I can do to provide something like water, because you guys and this run group provide so much for me that like, case of water, no problem. Like that's easy. And always happy to help. But yeah, I need to go to Costco again. We just went yesterday, but this is the life that I live.
Oh, there you go.
I'll get a couple cases.
I'm in. I want to go be a part of that too. It's about time I hopped on the sparkling water supply chain.
Yeah.
You know, so grateful to BRC. So it's the least I can do.
Yeah.
Way cool, man. One other thing I really wanted to mention in this episode is a four-legged friend that I've had the opportunity to get a few miles with just happens to be your dog, Oaks, who's awesome. The first couple times I ran with you, Oaks was involved in one of those. We were smashing down the side trail. Maybe, I guess you could call it secret. We also ran up Humboldt. Oaks is a good vibe, like his owner is a good vibe. So, yeah, I mean, talk about running with Oaks a little bit.
Well, before I talk about running with Oaks, I'll back it up to my favorite runs of all time have been with my wife, trail running, but especially with my wife, trail running, and our two dogs before Oaks. One was a purebred wiener dog, and then the other one was a wiener dog mix, 15 and 17 pounds, and they were runners. They were endurance runners. They were little athletes. Awesome. We would go up in Colorado, you know, 12,000, 13,000 feet peaks, and they would ride along with us. And I remember some of my favorites would be, hey, how'd those dogs get up here? Like, they ran like we did. I mean,
we didn't carry them. They got four legs.
Yeah. What do you mean? So those all time, and then just add to the like thrill of trail running. Those times like trail running with those two dogs and my wife, like epic. Okay. And so that, you know, kind of now continued with Oaks. He's a blue heeler rescue from the animal shelter. Shout out to the animal shelter.
Yeah. Good work. It's where my boy Taco came from.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. And yeah, he's a cattle dog, all the things, high energy, really smart. So he needs, if you weren't an endurance athlete, you're going to be one now with him.
He'll drag you along.
Yeah. He was running circles around us that day. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's very cool.
Should we go to six?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Segment six. This is interesting. This is another element about Manny that I'm not sure a lot of people know.
Yeah.
The most interesting Manny in the world has an even other cool side to him.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. Manny does some business coaching and consulting, and like, what does that mean? Like, I'm a fool on so many levels, but I really don't know much about what you do as far as consulting and business coaching. I know you've mentioned to me, like, you've gone and given some talks at conferences and you're meeting with different gyms and different clients, but tell us more about that.
Are we learning? Are you about to learn?
I sure as heck hope so.
Yeah, so some other just fun Manny-isms. I'll give you, like, from a job perspective, I've done quite a bit. Yeah, like I taught high school. I worked at Disneyland doing their sports medicine. So like, so all of their
wrapping Aaron Rodgers' ankles, taping up Mickey Mouse. This guy's done it all.
Yeah, yeah. Internship with the Atlanta Braves organization. That was sports medicine. And then, so circle back to Aaron Rodgers' story.
Yeah.
I did some volunteer work with pro bull riding. And this was an event down in Anaheim. We're in there, like, in the locker room, taping up the Cowboys, right, like, getting ready for the show. And door opens. The vice president of PBR comes in. And that's pro bull riding, not the beer.
Oh.
Because for those trail runners. vice president walks in. Aaron comes in behind him. And he just peeks his head in and he goes, hey, guys, I don't want to interrupt. I know you're getting ready. But then he looks down at the locker room and he kind of squints and he says, is that Manny? I'm like, it is Manny.
Yeah.
And that's Aaron.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I went over, you know, just shook his hand with a little small talk.
That's cool.
But I thought it was because I was, you know, natural, like, oh, what have you been up to? Like, that's what I wanted to say. But I'm like, what?
Playing football, huh?
Yeah. Right. I know what you've been up to.
Yeah.
And so through that, kind of the thread through that was sports medicine, fitness. And so I did, I've kind of really have worked in every facet of a fitness facility, from janitor, scrubbing urinals and showers to the front desk, to personal trainer, to salesperson, to fitness manager, to general manager. I owned with some partners fitness facilities. So that's kind of like I grew up business-wise in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then wanted a little bit more schedule flexibility. and location freedom. So quit managing gyms, and then got into the consulting side. And so the consulting piece is helping people be better leaders, you know, like what conversations you should or shouldn't be having with your team, and mm-hmm. how to have them better, and how to hold themselves and you accountable, and
yeah.
how to bring your core values to life. Like how to like not work and go to a run group on Wednesday night. Right. Like, yeah. seriously, sometimes it's sad. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you not having ice cream with your kids? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. No, trying to, so kind of encouraging a work-life balance for a lot of people, which I mean, I can imagine, you know, for a business owner, that can be really challenging, right? Because it takes so much. And again, I'm just guessing, because I don't own any businesses, can barely manage my own household. But like, it takes a huge time commitment to make a business come to life and then not just start it, but be successful. Mm-hmm. How do, like, what are some of those core tenets that you teach or you try to impart on the folks that you consult with?
Be truthful and have grace, right? So, and be truthful in conversation you have with your team, be truthful in your pricing, be right? Like honor your word across the board. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the truth isn't what people want to hear. But if that's what needs to be, if that's the truth, then go with that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, have grace. Like, people make mistakes. Get like, let yourself off the mat, because we're not often kind to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I think if you come from those places, really remember why it is that you're doing what you're doing.
Sure.
Because sometimes it gets lost, right? And we become like another social media ad to look at, or checklist to do, or phone call to make.
Yeah.
But like, why are you doing this business? And like, let's get the stoke back on that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. How about advice for those who want to build stamina in business and life, relating it back to the endurance element?
I think have a clear goal, have a clear timeline, and then just take steps every day, right? Because like, how do you build endurance? How do you the stamina? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just an everyday thing. But if you have a clear goal and a timeline, I want to get to this point, right? Then it's easier to like keep those steps happening.
Sure. And
that's really cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'm thinking back to the running and now like the strength training that both of us have, you know, jumped into lately. And
yes,
it's like, you don't see the results day to day.
No.
Right. Like,
yeah,
because I lifted today, I'm not going to see any big difference tomorrow. But if I lift or I run a couple times a week or every day for a couple weeks, a couple months, and look back, then you see the growth.
Yeah.
Right? And I gotta believe that's probably what comes through in running a business too, right? It's not gonna change drastically from one day to the next, but in a month, in 2 months, in a year, if you have that goal that you're working toward, all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, it's right in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. I made it there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think to fall in love, right? Just to fall in love with running, not just trying to win the race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or trying to do the next race. Like, sure. If you just fall in love with running, I mean, you get to race and have fun at that too.
Yeah.
But like, this is just what you do.
Yeah.
Right. And so
it's that process.
Uh-huh. The journey's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also being in it for the long haul, right? Like the businesses that are successful, are thinking far ahead. And so the decisions that they're making in terms of hiring or their clients or like is far ahead. And so, yeah, I think from the endurance side, right. Also, just having that vision.
I think a big part of endurance is patience too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're kind of not one in the same, but like, certainly closely connected.
Right. Yeah. And then it's going to be painful at times. Mm-hmm. And know that it's not going to be painful forever. Yeah. But it's going to be painful. And then also, you know, when you're on a high, like, enjoy it, because you're probably not going to stay up there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm feeling great. Like, okay, you're not going to be feeling great forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so if you just know those things are coming.
Yeah.
Like in life as well.
Way cool. Super interesting to get a look into some of your business coaching philosophy, man. Way awesome. And I think it's setting us up for a little bit of a rapid fire and a reflective finish.
Yeah.
One of the things we love to do with these episodes is share some of Peter's questions. That's become such a really cool segment to how we're going about our podcast. So, Peter, take it away.
Yeah. So, Manny, we have a series of questions we like to throw around. You can answer them long. You can answer them short. Whatever makes you happiest, we just ask that you give us your true answer. So, first question, favorite place to run, whether it's a trail, a road, a race you've run, but your favorite place to run.
Green Mountain Trail in Colorado.
Okay.
In the Flatirons.
Tell me about Green Mountain Trail.
It's right outside of Boulder, so pretty well, you can get to it outside of Boulder, but you can connect like miles on the backside of it. And yeah, it's just kind of rolly. You can run it at all seasons, right? So sometimes you're out there in the snow, sometimes like just bright blue sky and green pine trees.
Yeah.
And then it gets some aggressive like ascents, some rocky, and then you end up at the peak, which is the top of a Flatiron, and you just oversee like all the Boulder. You're like, oh, it's so cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm jealous. I want to go run that right now.
Yeah. I've only ever been to the Denver airport. That's my experience with Colorado.
Which is a really trippy, unique airport, by the way.
Yeah, that place is big.
So if you guys remember Anton Krupikia, he was from several years ago, like an elite endurance athlete, elite runner. He won Western States and he's from that area, and my wife used to watch him a lot on YouTube. And so she's like, when we went to vacation there, she's like, oh, we got to run Green Mountain. That's where Anton runs.
Oh, how cool.
So yeah, and then we actually ended up seeing him a few times on like just like running it, and he's got like a tally of how many thousands of times he's done Green Mountain.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's wild.
Oh, that's
but so that place cool. is
that's
that
great
place is pretty special.
All right, next question. When you're out for a solo run, do you have something on the headphones? Are you all natural, going with the thoughts and trying to stay out of the dark places, or both?
Very often nothing.
Okay.
Trying to stay out of the dark places or find them.
Yes.
Right?
Ooh, totally. Yeah.
Like
go,
sometimes
go to
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
Just like, I just got to work through some stuff. Let's
totally.
Go.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I think that's the beauty of when you don't listen to something is it gives you more of an opportunity to kind of process and maybe just address some things that needed to be addressed.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you are listening to something, what are you listening to?
Metallica.
Either
Poison, Rat. Come on.
Every once in a while. Not Rat. Poison, yes.
Dawkins.
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard.
Okay.
Sweet. Yeah. White Snake.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Podcasts, often business related.
Yeah.
Business related podcasts. Those are big ones. I'll do some comedy podcasts. I do a Bible podcast or just the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like I've been digging that quite a bit.
Good.
Interesting.
Like
yeah.
On the Bible app, like hit a book and like you just got the Bible in the background. Yeah, that's been a lot of fun. And then music, a lot of country, a lot of punk, a lot of Christian rock. That's the mix right there. Some Latin music.
Okay. You got me at punk and you got me on Sublime. I'm fully committed on that. All right. Best piece of running advice you've ever received?
Relax and have fun.
It's a beautiful thing that we get to do. We get to run.
Yeah.
And we, the three of us, get to run in Bidwell Park.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Doesn't get much better than that.
It's a gift.
Okay.
Yeah.
So say you have a friend, you probably had these friends before, who are just getting into running, want to get into running. What's the first piece of advice you would give to someone who's just starting their running journey?
Barefoot sprints on the hot pavement.
Hell yeah.
Barefoot sprints.
After the second day, if you still like running, you're going to be a runner forever.
Wow.
See? Ooh,
I hadn't considered that angle before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
this process, I mean, I'm just saving your time whether or not you're going to like running.
Yeah.
Here's how you know.
He wants to go to the dark places fast.
Yeah, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Yeah.
Go to the pain.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Start slow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Start slow, probably even like interval training, you know, like 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
2 minutes on, or, you know, even 2 minutes off, 1 minute on, like
yeah.
if that's where you got to start, but
totally.
Just, yeah, depending on where you're at. And yeah, start slow and better to come back feeling like, I could have done a little bit more.
Yep.
Then I'm shelled.
Yeah.
Cause
then you're not going to
come back. Then you're not going to want to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people do when they start running is just full force, full sprint right out the gates. And it's like, no, if you're trying to like run a distance, we talk about this a lot. Like you got to go slow. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I like that idea of run a minute, take two off.
You know, what's really interesting. And I may be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure the other BRC co-founder we had on the podcast, his piece of advice was also start slow.
Yeah.
Which I'm not positive, but I think, and I hope that is the case, because that's unique and ironic and awesome.
I think when Noah was on, he said the same thing too.
Maybe it was Noah. Maybe I'm mistaken.
No, I think Shauna said that as well.
Everybody said start.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Maybe it's a theme.
Maybe it's a theme.
Maybe.
Okay. Got another one for you.
Or a conspiracy.
Or a conspiracy. Oh, now we're talking. Okay.
Please.
So,
no.
Yeah. You've just finished a big race, whatever it is. You finished a triathlon, you finished a half marathon, you finished a barefoot marathon, and it's time to refuel because you've just done the hard work. You made it through your training block, you made it through your goal race, you feel really good about it. What are you eating?
A greasy vegan cheeseburger.
Yes. Nice.
With fries and a pale ale.
Yes.
And then following the vegan theme, some vegan ice cream and cookies.
Hitting that savor. Yep.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Burger sounds really good now.
Savor has a maple bacon toffee ice cream that they release in the fall.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. That's a unique flavor, but it's good, dude.
It is.
Sometimes I've had it. Yeah.
Savor's doing something right over there.
Yeah, Savor, come sponsor us.
Yeah, Savor. We savor your ice cream.
Yeah.
My children that are all gluten-free and mostly dairy-free, we really appreciate what you're doing for the dessert world.
I appreciated Savor when they were starting. They had a sign that said, "We're running out of ice cream. This is for real. Like, it's not a stunt. Like, we can't keep up."
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, some restaurants that are new, like, they pretend to run out.
Yeah.
So then, you know, create some
marketing.
Scarcity.
Ooh, absolutely.
Yeah. But they're like, no. Like, for real. Yeah. We're running out.
Come look in our freezer.
Yeah,
like, it's legitimately empty.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. This is it right
now.
Yeah,
we can't make it fast enough. I love that sign.
Oh, that's so
awesome.
Yeah. All right. So we've hit all the highlights.
Yeah.
Of the most interesting Manny in the world.
I savored this episode.
I savored it as well. I feel hydrated. I feel strengthened.
Yeah.
But
I feel like I've learned a lot.
I feel like I've learned a lot as well.
Yeah.
And I hope that everyone that hears this, especially our BRC folks that, you know, see Manny every week, have a better idea of who he is and what he's about.
Let's go.
I certainly have so much more. I mean, I've always had respect for you, but just more respect for everything that you've accomplished up to this point. Yes, in running, but also in life and just your outlook and mentality for how you approach things. So,
yeah, well said, man.
What's next for Manny though? What's next? What's next in business? What's next on the trail? Whatever it might be, what's next?
Yeah, pretty boring, fortunately. Because fortunately though, because I'm kind of living the life I want right now, so just continuing.
That's not more, boring.
Yeah,
there's nothing like, boring about living the life that you want.
Yeah, so just more of the same of that, like hanging out with my wife and our dog and doing stuff in the yard, cruising outside, you know, running and playing in Upper Park.
Yep.
Trying to run into friends throughout town, wherever that might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
are there any BRC parties coming up soon?
There's the cleanup with the Environmental Council on the 20th, and then there is a holiday party planned in December. I'm blanking on the name, but we got a spot booked.
Cool.
At the Commons. Shout out to them for hooking us up.
Commons, we love you too.
Yeah, can't wait for that. Love
the Commons.
Yeah.
Speaking of the cleanup day that's coming up, is that something that if folks want to participate, they need to RSVP, or do they just show up on the day of and help take care of our wonderful community?
Yeah, they can do both. It'd be cool if they want to RSVP to us, just so we have an idea of like who from BRC is representing, mm-hmm. but we don't care. We care more about having cleaner parks and watersheds.
Totally.
So just show up, hook a rope, and yeah, they'll get you all set up.
And you said the 20th?
The 20th.
Yeah. September 20th.
Follow on Strava too. I just had a gentleman tonight ask about like getting in on the runs, and it was like, check out Bidwell Run Club on Strava.
Yeah.
They're posting their group runs there. So a lot of information coming from the Bidwell Run Club profile on Strava.
Yeah. Find Bidwell Run Club on Instagram as well.
Good point. Yeah.
Soon enough, you'll be able to use the old Googler box and find the Bidwell Run Club website.
.com.
BidwellRunClub.com.
Oh, boy.
You got the domain.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Yeah,
it's got a good ring to it.
It does have a good ring to it. Yes, thank you again, Manny. We appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time this evening. Always a pleasure to chat. Looking forward to seeing you
on
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Ross, what's coming up with us?
Yeah, the most interesting Manny in the world. Amazing conversation, man. So cool to gain some insight into what you're about, dude. Super grateful you were a guest on the show and look forward to more runs together and learning more with Manny, dude.
Yeah, thanks. So just real quick, I want to give a shout out, you know, thanks to you guys for hosting and for what you're doing here again for running. And also to the rest of the BRC founders, so Jess and Andrew and Logan, and we're fortunate to have Melissa and Billy on board now. So that's the whole BRC board and crew. So thanks to them. Thanks to all the runners who come out every week to support.
Yeah, dude, Manny, thank you, man. And yeah, well said. We've had Logan, we've had Manny, Jess and Andrew. I know
we're
coming
for you,
but let's hop on the Zoom. We could do a podcast that way. We've thought about that.
Yep.
It'd be really neat to get you on board with everything you've done, obviously along with Manny and Logan. So that's awesome. And I'm glad you mentioned Melissa and Billy. Did you know Billy plays the piano?
No.
Yeah, he was crushing some piano Saturday night. And wait, did you know Joffrey plays the violin?
What?
Yeah.
Exceptionally well.
Yeah.
What? Do we have a BRC orchestra? Is that something? Is that something that's going to have to happen?
Yeah.
The BRC Orchestra?
We were treated to some live music on Saturday. It was cool, dude.
Hey, I've got one more thing.
Okay.
You know, we always talk about nicknames, right?
Yeah, we
do. And a couple weeks ago, I met Aurelio.
Yeah, dude.
Right?
So cool. Yeah.
That dude is so cool.
He is.
He knows everybody. I think he's the mayor.
Okay.
I think he's the mayor of Bidwell Park. Because when we're running, he's like, oh, I gave that guy some Gatorade last week because he like crashed out at the top of Green Gate. Oh, yeah, that's a guy I work with. Oh, no, I see her at church. Oh, no, I ran into that guy at Safeway. Oh, I ran a couple miles with him last week. Aurelio, you are now the mayor of Bidwell Park. It's official.
We got to add Aurelio to the guest list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another good dude.
Yeah, that's amazing. Speaking of guests, we've got a lot of people we want to get to. Kevin, Folsom 100-mile victory. We've been in touch. Hopefully we can schedule that soon. His story is amazing, going worst to first, zero to hero. Like literally finished DFL last year at the same race, and this year won the race.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff that like legendary movie scripts are written about. That's like Rocky right there. That's like, I can't wait to learn a little bit more about him.
Totally.
And Joaquin, like I talked to this gentleman on Saturday. I was mentioning the podcast, and Shauna from Fleet Feet was like, you got to get him on the show. He spent some time in jail for some tough decisions, but earned his way out on good behavior and discovered running in jail, and used to just like crush marathons on a track that was like not the best conditions, sloped downward. And if you turned around and ran the other way, you were putting yourself in harm's danger of the guards. It's just some crazy stuff. And he's turned his life around, and now he's working with kids and helping kids. And a lot of it's through, you know, finding purpose from running. So his story is just like, oh my gosh, like people don't know about this. Yeah. It's just like, we don't know about how interesting you are. Like, it's so cool to tap into this and to learn about the community. So we're working on some good guests, and we definitely need to talk to Logan about UTMB also. And
So Logan, if you hear this, whenever you're ready, man, whenever you're ready, take your time. But we have so many questions that we need answered.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, that's going to be good. So yeah, feel a little overwhelmed because I want to talk to everybody. But yeah, anyways, man, Manny, thanks again. So cool. The most interesting Manny in the world. Barefoot running. Business coaching, just endurance mindset, turned your life around. Like, thanks for inspiring me, man. That's amazing. Peter, wrap us up.
Well, we nailed it. Time to go home and go to bed.